Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7. We are about three quarters of the way through Isaiah, an amazing book. Isaiah is here, there, and everywhere. End times, a lot of millennial period. Jumps back to time of Isaiah. All over the place. We're getting ready to get into a portion here that even has America in it, believe it or not. America is in this book. And that's a very interesting area. We're in chapter 46. Going to jump right in. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. The false gods never delivered. Nothing, you know, the only thing it gave anyone was a feeling of religion. And a feeling of religion masks one's inability to follow God with all their heart. If God asks you to follow me with all your heart, like he told Abraham, the first covenant, follow me with all your heart and be circumcised, you know? If that's what he's asking, and you really are one of those people that can't do it for various reasons, you love this life too much, you love the pleasures of this life too much, you just love yourself too much, you just can't put God before you, then religion comes in. And I'm not just talking about Baal worship and Nebo. I'm talking about the denominations we have here in America. They have religious customs. This is what we do. You know, at 9 a.m. we file into the cathedral. At 9:10, we say this little thing that we say in the sanctuary. At 9:12, we sing our first song. 9:14, the deacon counts the room, you know, then the offering plate comes by. And you know what? And 45 minutes later, it's over and your religious duties for the week are done. There's nothing to do with following God. You know, you go to church to hear a little bit of the word so you can meditate on it and expand upon it that week by reading your Bible and focusing on God. I talk about the original covenant so much. And it was not the Ten Commandments. That was given as a stumbling block to the children of Abraham that could not follow him with all their heart. God gave Abraham absolute freedom. Follow me with all your heart, and your sins will not affect you. When his children couldn't do it, he laid the law on them. Everything affected them. They could be sinful by accident. You read the Levitical law. Sit in a seat where a woman on her menstrual period had sat moments before. You're considered unclean and sinful at that point. But religion came in, and the law was religion. Made them feel like they were actually working toward keeping themselves holy, when in fact they were not. You cannot cover your own sins. You can't work with your hands enough to cover your sins in any way, shape, or form, Christian. That's why when you accept Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice, you dare not hold on to any portion of the law. You're telling him what he'd done just wasn't good enough. That's what he's telling you here. You know, this false religion, these false gods, can be as much as bowing down to an idol or just simply going through the religious rituals that you've adopted. They're the same. They come to nothing, he's saying. It's just a giant burden. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, those of you who are mine. And even to your old age I am he, and even to four hairs will I carry you, from your youth to your old age will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry it and I will deliver you. I will, God says. I will, not religion, not your being involved with the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Pentecostal Church. You know, go there and have fellowship with fellow like-minded Christians. And then come and be with me, God says. And like I said, I was getting into it earlier. I talk about following God with all your heart. That's what he wants. And then Christ came back and reestablished the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Even easier now. No more cutting. And if you do that, how do I know I'm following God with all my heart? Only God knows that. But I tell you what, there's a good way to tell. How often do you think about him? How often do you think of whatever situation you're in? How often do you ask his, what do you call it, Jonathan?
Guidance.
Guidance, yeah. What do you have? Brain cramp here.
Okay.
How often do you ask God's guidance? You know, I was installing a very heavy fan in my paint shop. It was like 300 feet. You know, please, God, you know, let this go well. And every step along, I was by myself, forklift, getting it up there in place. Every step of the way, thank you, Lord. That was scary. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, that's a daily thing in every Christian's life, or it should be. You know, driving the car, thank you, Lord. Let me get there safely. I praise you, God. Oh, that was a wonderful blessing. You know, it didn't come up to nearly what I thought it was going to cost, you know.
Usually when I'm working, I'm like, all right, Lord, I know this isn't going to be easy, and I'm not asking you to make this easy, but please help me through everything that I'm facing.
That's right. Everything. And thank you, Lord.
And like you said, every little inch along the way, I'm like, thank you.
It's a daily conversation. If you have a daily conversation, you know your heart. That is a good indicator that your heart is following after God. Now, how much of your heart, all of my heart, all of your heart is what God told Abraham, follow me with all your heart. How much of a conversation you're having with God all day long is a good indicator of how much of your heart is following him. You know, is he on your mind? Every time you do something, is this something God would approve of? Every time you have thoughts, and we talk about those thoughts that fire through your mind that come from the pits of hell. You know, where did that come from, Lord? I'm sorry. And that's another indicator of whether you're following God with all your heart, because the more your spirit man is in control of this mind, which is carnal and is contrary to the will of God, the more control your spirit man has, the less of those thoughts will fire through there. And that all comes down to physical exhaustion too. And we've talked about that in the case of prophet. Give me prophet's name.
Isaiah.
The one that destroyed all the prophets of Baal. Oh my gosh,
Elijah.
Yeah. Yes, I am having a brain disease. Physical exhaustion too. Slept wrong on my pillow. My neck's hurting. You know, all these little things play into it. But you got to just keep your mind focused on God. The more you focus on him, the more you know your heart is following after him. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? And there again, he was talking about this in the last chapter. There is no one like me. That silver idol that you have, or that shiny Cadillac, I know you're worshiping it, Bill Johnson.
Yeah.
But it is not like me. I can carry you. I can bless you. I can punish you. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They falleth down, yea, they worship. And like I say all the time, that's not always getting on your knees in front of a golden idol. It can be a fancy sports car. It can be a beautiful mansion on a hilltop with a swimming pool in the back and the sauna room. You know, it's quite easy to become enamored with things. The Bible only mostly speaks of golden images and silver images and things like that, but in modern society, those golden images are many, many different things. Could be the latest, greatest iPhone version 750, you know, that you paid $3,300 for. You got to be careful. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, they set him in place, and he standeth from his place. Shall he not remove? Yea, one small cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him from his trouble. That's right. In your day, in your moment of trouble, none of these idols that you put in your life are going to be able to help you. That iPhone, that fancy car, that golden Buddha you have on your nightstand, I can, God says. Remember this and show yourselves men, bring it again to me, to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And if you read this book earnestly, there are lots of things in here that are not yet done. There are lots of things in here that we have seen happen in recent history. 1947, book of Ezekiel came true. Nation of Israel coming back together, and many other places that forecast the nation of Israel would come back together in modern times. The special shepherd that America has been placed above and in place in America. I do believe that is our current president. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, my stout-hearted. Normally calls them stiff-necked. Stout-hearted now. Talking about the Jewish people. A lot of Christians like that too. They are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. In times, prophecy there, chapter 47. You ready to see America? Book of Isaiah, here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7 Between the Lines. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. That's not Babylon he's talking about. That is a nation like Babylon. We got to understand what Babylon was. Babylon was the ruling power of the time. Very powerful. Able to have its will with any other nation. This is a virgin, daughter of Valentine, virgin, set aside. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. And there are a lot of other places in this Bible where you need to read and understand what's taking place here. You'll no longer be called tender and delicate. And there's another spot in this Bible where God says about America, you were once a golden cup in my hand. Now you're a cup of abomination. So the tender and delicate, you will no longer be a golden cup in my hand. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. God is uncovering the nakedness of this daughter of Babylon. He's approaching her as a man, and she is as a woman, and her various, he's describing here, various levels of undress, meaning her nakedness and embarrassment. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy, upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. Okay, we're going to go up here on verse 6 again. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. God set America aside, away from the rest of the world, the influence of European and Asian gods, as you would say, and histories. And a lot of Jewish people came here. And there was one reason God set America aside, was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. And we did that. Thou didst show no mercy upon the ancient, hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. What do we do to our young, our old folks in this country, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you shuffle them off into an old folks' home, right?
Yeah. Pack them up. Time for you to go to the home, Grandpa.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. I want to stay here in my home, my house. No, time for you to go. We got no time for you.
Mm-hmm.
I work all day, and when I'm not working, I'm hunting. I can't be taking care of you, wiping your hiney all the time.
Even though you did mine.
Yeah, yeah. Show no mercy upon the ancient. Hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke? Not to mention property taxes, you know, old people on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
Right here in South Carolina, can't pay your taxes.
On something you own.
On something you supposedly own. They sell it out from under you.
Yep.
You get a year. If you can't buy it back, where do you go? Out on the street.
And then they trick you out of it.
Yeah.
Because in a way that it's not like they send you paperwork saying that they just, all they got to do legally is put it in the newspaper as an announcement.
Yeah. Yep.
Never say a word to you. But all of a sudden you have people in your front yard like, what's going on?
Yep. Buying your house. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. And that one there is key. And you got to go to Revelation 18 to tie this one to America. But this one pierces my heart because you hear it so often and so many times in the past. Greatest nation on the earth. Most powerful nation on the earth. City on the shining city on the hill. We are so great. And this is what it says here. Thou settest in thine heart. I didn't say that, but. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. I shall be wonderful. My statue of liberty shall always shine.
Lady Liberty.
So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, regardless of what's happening within the country. You overlook that and say, we are great. We are strong. Neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this thou, that thou art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. What else? What did I just say? I am great. There is no one like me. That's comparable to what God said in the last chapter. I am God. There is no one like me.
Mm-hmm.
I shall not sit as a widow. Neither shall I know the loss of children. That means America will never sit in the second seat. Never, ever be less than the best. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. And you got to tie this to Daniel 7, his prophecy. And the other reason that God put America over here was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. And we've done that. And then Daniel will tell you that there is a second mission for America in the last days. And it's to protect Israel during an upcoming battle. And after that, God puts this judge, and he says that right there in Daniel, judgment is cast in Daniel. And as we've seen so many times in past episodes, you know, God uses a nation, but as soon as his mission for that nation is over, judgment must come for all the abominations of that nation. Even though they were serving him to a certain degree, they did not have their house in order. And America's house has not been in order for a long time. And go back to 9, but these two things shall come to thee in a moment. And there's four or five other places in 1 hour, in a moment. It's just an instantaneous thing. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in 1 day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. So, a great loss of life and God turning his back on the nation. And Daniel, if you read Daniel earnestly, tied in with Revelation, you will see it as a momentary, just a 1 hour battle. And it obviously involves nuclear weapons, just in the way Daniel describes the he-goat jumping up into the air and leaping across the entire earth without touching the ground and ramming the other goat and breaking his horn. The horn is the government that says the nation was never able to wage war again. And right here we're seeing great loss of life, God turning his back, because America at that time during the Daniel prophecy has just rescued Israel from the Antichrist forces. And the Antichrist turns all of his attention toward the remnant of her seed. So speaking of the nation of Israel, it all ties together. But this is the coming final judgment for America, for her multitude of sorceries, and for her great abundance of thine enchantments. Oh my gosh. We exported the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We also exported pornography and all sorts of debauchery as the nation foundations begin to crumble. And we are in a very, very bad state at this moment. But there is a prophecy coming up where God says, I will put a special shepherd over America to guide them to this final mission that I need them to perform. And then after that, judgment will come. And that's what we're seeing right there. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, for thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. We're going to see the fact that he even lists here that we are a democracy, a republic. A wisdom thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Just what God had said. The pride. And I see that national. You know, I do agree with some national pride. And God even says, you know, be proud of your nation. Follow the laws of your nation, unless they conflict with my laws. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. And that is a key thing there. It is a surprise attack. America doesn't even see it coming. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. The only hope you will have is in your sorceries and all of those false gods that you have. And he's talking here from your youth. Read this one more time. Stand now with thine enchantments, with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. Even though God set this nation aside from its foundation, the Masons have poured all sorts of influence. You find it in every aspect of our government, from our currency to our buildings. Sorceries behind the scenes. Magic and black magic. Mm-hmm. Satan always works from the inside to corrupt everything that God sponsors. And yes, God did sponsor this nation for a purpose. But it was anything involving men becomes corrupt. We see that with the nation of Israel, and God has lambasted them over and over because the corruption that comes from inside out, follow me with all your heart. How easy is it, Christian? How easy is it, nation of Israel? How easy is it, America? It's not. Because we're all mixed with the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent is in the carnal mind. God says, I place the spirit man in the heart. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of the carnal mind, which rejects God, which is anti-God, which is anti-Christ. Anything made with a man's hand will be corrupt. Let's say in here, in this moment, after you have accomplished the last mission I have for you, America, protecting Israel during that last day's battle, the only thing you have now is stand now with thine enchantments, with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit. If so be thou mayest prevail. Maybe they will help you. I kind of doubt it.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.